Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropps.
All right, friends, third hour today of the expanded Political Coffee Show. Again, the first hour of the show will be rebroadcast this evening at 6 p.m., but all of it will end up eventually on the podcast. That I can assure you. So here's what we are talking about today, and I'm going to get into the further explanation of Trump's final remaining tool, his option. And it's the invocation of the Insurrection Act. And you know, it's been done before. Now also, I want to answer Nick's email. By the way, the phone number to call is 503-589-1220. That is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Nick had just tuned in, so help who and for what? Well, it was helping Megan Marie Stevens. We did an interview with her at 6:31. You can hear it again if you watch or listen, rather, to the replay. This evening at 6 p.m. here on KSLM, 1220 a.m. or 104.3 FM. Megan Marie is a woman who is a mother of three, single, who has been the victim of domestic abuse. You don't know that, but it's true. And she has been organizing these Defeat the Steal rallies on behalf of Donald Trump. And she's been doing it with different groups of people, the Republican Party, the Proud Boys. She was a chief sponsor of and an organizer of the Thanksgiving Day dinner for the homeless on the Capitol Mall there at the Fountains the day before Thanksgiving. I know because I delivered tables to it. She had planned a Christmas dinner event along with the Proud Boys and other groups, including Awakening Ministries and Blexit and Women for Trump. This coming Saturday on the Capitol Mall, including going out and giving, not just providing food for the homeless, but for families that had been locked down with Kate Brown and didn't have Christmas gifts for their kids. All of that just got canceled. Why? Because Antifa and the left are physically threatening her, slashing her tires. She's been warned by the Marion County Sheriff's Office to be very careful where she goes and what she does. They got her fired from her job. They're trying to get her evicted from her apartment. These are the leftists. These are the Antifa, the anti-fascist, engaging in fascist, tyrannical activities meant to intimidate. Why? Because she stood up for Trump. Now, the videos that you've seen online are edited. And it's pretty obvious. In fact, it came out in court, according to the Statesman Journal article, that a private investigator was hired to follow her. And somebody obviously followed her and pointed her out in this Washington, D.C. video where she shoves a woman down on the ground. That own video, if you watch that video for yourself, what you'll see is it's really unclear if she was assaulted first and was defending herself, and you heard her explain why she pushed that woman. She acknowledged she pushed her, and she went down on the ground. What's wrong about all of this, including the video of her macing the guy in Salem, the Antifa guy, that other people had beat down already? And you see that on the video. She gets arrested for that, but the other people didn't get arrested for beating the guy to the ground, kicking him, hitting him. Same thing in Washington, D.C. She gets targeted. Why? Well, because she's leading these rallies for Trump. Now, this is being highly organized. And because she's associated with other people like Awakening Ministries, they are being targeted now by Antifa. See how this works, folks? What kind of an America are we going to have? It's the price of liberty, friends. I told you this early on. In both hours, Christ paid the ultimate price of liberty in his death for us to live free of sin, to be at peace in our spirits because we're forgiven. She is not a perfect person. She does have an arrest record. She has been convicted. She's in court right now for macing the guy. That's what that court hearing yesterday was about. Now they're trying to bring in Washington, D.C., the video there. She has a right, no matter what happened 10 years ago, she has a right to stand up and say her piece. That's the First Amendment, folks. Are we going to let her pay the price for this alone? To be intimidated? She knows who some of these people are, and she's going to sue them, and I'm going to help her find a lawyer to help her do that for harassment. Sue them for monetary damage in civil court. Because you know what? If they can do it to her, they can do it to you, and they can do it to me. That's why Glenn's suggestion from the second hour was so right on the money. And it is the next time she has a court hearing, we show up in mass to support her. And not let them intimidate us into silence. So if you want to help her in any way, send me an email to jeff@1220.am. And I'll make sure to get it to her so you can connect up. We better stand together, friends. It's with the old saying from the Revolutionary War, we either hang together or we hang separately. And I'm telling you, friends, it's like I said yesterday, America's changed. We're at another one of these turning points in America. We are on the verge, literally, of civil war. You see, the judges and the DAs need to be more afraid of us than they are of Antifa, of being doxxed. You see, Megan Marie talked about how the judge who allowed her to travel to D.C. is now being attacked. That's not right either. So, you want to stand for what's right, what's true and honest and pure and good and positive? You better help. You better work together, all of us, to stand for our liberty. There's more of us than there are of them, folks. There really are. But we're at a turning point. You see, Trump's not going away, and neither are we, those of us who are the lovers of liberty. I shared this with you yesterday. If you go to these Trump cruise-ins that I do, or you go to these rallies, you're going to see an awful lot of young people, more than I've ever seen. And I related you the story yesterday about how, you know, I was there at the beginning and a key player in, along with a lot of other great patriots, the Tea Party movement in 2010 here in Oregon, all across the country. We did not have the number of young people that we do today. It was mostly us older folks involved. It's different now. These people are a lot more passionate. Proud Boys wasn't around then, fighting Antifa. Now, I'm not a Proud Boy. I don't like some of the things they do. I don't hang out with them. but they have a right to stand up for what they believe too. And they have a right to defend us. And they do. And I give them high marks for that. In 2010, in the Tea Party movement, none of this stuff was going on. It is now. And you see, the young people that are the patriots that are on our side now are young. They're in their 20s and their 30s. They're family people. They are not going away, folks. They are not. And that's a good thing for the future of this country. Now, getting back to Trump's final option. Trump did something else very quietly that was on the Gateway Pundit. I didn't see anything about it until I saw it on the Gateway Pundit. He establishes an order of secession for assassinated or incapacitated Department of Defense personnel. You know, when I first read that, I go, what's that all about? Well, now it makes perfect sense. He moves to establish an order of secession for DOD people that get killed in military actions. Why would a lame duck president do that? Think about that for a moment. If you've been defeated, why would you move a whole, Trump's making a whole bunch of appointments, folks. He's putting loyalists in all kinds of places in Washington, D.C. You see stories about it. You read stories about it. Why would a lame duck president, oh, I know. They say, the excuse is, well, he's just trying to make it difficult for Joe Biden. Really? Well, maybe. Or maybe not. Maybe he's anticipating having to invoke the Insurrection Act. This DOD personnel order of secession, could be a piece of that. Now, what are his chances that this could really, truly happen? Well, I think they are, I think it's a huge long shot. I really do. But it's been done before. The president, Donald Trump, does have the law on his side here. Now, does it mean that the military is going to support him? Doesn't. That's an unknown, to be honest with you. And that's a big unknown. It also means that if he tries to do this, it will immediately go before the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, that also gets us back to Hammer and Scorecard and how Obama and John Brennan have been using it to blackmail and leverage people. Just like J. Edgar Hoover did with the FBI. It's the Washington Way. A little more on that when we come back at 8:20.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour, there was just concluded a heated argument in the Senate committee back in D.C. between the chairman, Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, and Mr. Peters, the Democrat lackey from Michigan. Not sure what it was about because I had the sound down, but I'm watching it. I got it up on Newsmax. You can also go watch it live stream on the computer if you go to Gateway Pundit. Ken Starr is there and lots of other interesting people, including one of Trump's lawyers. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. My friend Anne Marie said, how could we help Meghan Marie in what's the best way to help her? Well, she says this. As a survivor of domestic battering, the many disadvantages of single parenting, I'd like to send a donation to Meghan Marie personally. Now that she's lost her job, what's the best way? I don't know the answer to that, but I will get it for you, Anne Marie, and I will get it out there. If you want to make a donation to her, because yeah, she's been fired from her job because Antifa went after her. Now, some of you would say, well, then she shouldn't have been in D.C. and she shouldn't have been involved with, you know, pushing people down. She should have just, you know, stepped aside and not done that. Okay. I don't disagree with that. But I do think she's being unfairly targeted by a lot of people, including some in the establishment. And I don't think that's fair either. I don't think that's right. No matter what. She doesn't admit to being an angel. Okay. She admits to the mistakes and the things she's done wrong in her life. She did it. You heard it. But again, it doesn't mean she loses her rights. Now, I can tell you what they're doing against her, they could do against me just for talking about this. And who knows, they might try. That's why we'd better all stick together, folks. None of us are perfect. That's why the most important thing to do is to pray for Meghan and others that are out front leading, that are putting themselves on the line to do these things. Pray for them. Pray for their protection from evil. And that's what Antifa is. So also is the evil of what has happened to Donald Trump by the CIA and the use of hammer and scorecard. A lot of the lame duck things, which are not lame duck, that Trump has been doing for the last couple of months has been in anticipation that this election was going to be stolen and that he was going to have to use extraordinary measures. I think the seizing of servers under his executive order is the precursor to the invocation of the Insurrection Act. Why do I say that? Well, for two reasons. Number one, when Trump does seize Dominion servers and more is revealed about it, you know what's going to happen. The riots are going to explode. And the mayors of Democrat cities are just going to stand by and let it happen, just like Ted Wheeler does and will. That's the first thing. Second thing is, well, let's read from Section 252 of the Insurrection Act, which, by the way, was first used by Thomas Jefferson. Permits the president to deploy the U.S. military or federalized National Guard troops to suppress civil disorder, insurrection, and rebellion. Section 252 states this, I quote, whenever the president considers the unlawful obstructions, combinations, or assemblages, or rebellion against the authority of the United States, make it impractical to enforce the laws of the United States in any state by the ordinary course of judicial proceedings, key on that, he may call into federal service such of the militia of any state and use such of the armed forces as he considers necessary to enforce the laws, key on that, or to suppress rebellion. Now, let's go back to judicial proceedings. By the ordinary course of judicial proceedings. Because if the judges won't hear the cases, because they say you don't have standing, or they won't even hear the evidence because they dismiss them outright because they don't want to deal with them. That's the ordinary course of judicial proceedings. Well, if there's rioting and these things cannot occur, if there's unlawful activities, say the very clear, and as at least the Wisconsin Supreme Court said, unlawful activities of the state to change election law without the legislatures, and that is their sole plenary power, as the word is these days. When that happens, then the laws cannot be enforced, and that's what this says. It becomes impractical to enforce the laws by the ordinary course of judicial proceedings. He can then call out the federal service, such as the militia, to use armed forces as he considers necessary to enforce those laws or to suppress rebellion. To enforce those laws. Because apparently the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't want to enforce its constitutional duty to hear the damage of unconstitutional actions of other states that it does to their voters in their states. And there's even more, including maybe how hammer and scorecard has been used to blackmail people. More on that when we come back. It's 8:30. Don't go away.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
The hammer and the scorecard. I'm going to tell you what that's all about in a moment here, folks, and how it's being used. Well, the data from it is being used to blackmail people. I alluded to this at the last hour, and it is true. It is the Washington way. And it's been going on a long time, folks. J. Edgar Hoover was famous for it. That's how he was able to stay in power as FBI director all those years, because he always had stuff on presidents that he could embarrass them with. And Tim, by the way, just sent me and by the way, John, thank you for sending the email, willing to support Megan Marie and to be there as a show of support at her next hearing. Good for you. Tim just sent me an email, which I saw a few minutes ago on Gateway Pundit. The Supreme Court strikes down the Kansas law requiring voter identification. Now, let me tie that into hammer and scorecard. I'm going to do that in just a moment. Because Supreme Court justices and federal judges are not above being blackmailed, because they are being illegally, unconstitutionally wiretapped, just like Trump was. That in a moment, friends. You heard at the bottom of the hour break an important commercial from KSLM asking you to support our advertisers. These are local business people, some of that you know, others that you don't, but they're no different than you. They are under attack also, because KSLM is standing up like we are on these issues for liberty because of our programming. Not just this show, Political Coffee, but all the other great shows that we have on this station. Some of these businesses are being targeted also by the left because they advertise with us. That's why it's important that you, I hope you take the commercial seriously, and I hope you reach out to these businesses. Even if you don't do business with them, send them an email. Give them a phone call. Say, thank you for advertising on KSLM. We stand with you. Because I guarantee you they rarely hear that. But I'll guarantee you that when you get the organized opposition that's well-funded, that allows Antifa to engage in their unconstitutional, illegal intimidation tactics like they're doing with Megan Marie. When they do that on our businesses, that's how they try to muzzle us, muzzle you. Because if we're not on the air, you don't get a chance to call. In fact, you don't get to hear some of this stuff. You don't get a chance to call in and have your say, express your thoughts. So with every one of our advertisers, I'm going to ask you to do that. And I mean that quite seriously. Like Dave and Paige Smith of Realty One Group here in Willamette Valley. They go above and beyond to serve you as realtors. Realty One Group Willamette Valley, Dave and Paige Smith. Maybe you're thinking about buying a house. Maybe you're thinking about selling yours. Why don't you call them? 503-939-7099. 503-939-7099. Support the Patriots. And indirectly support you. So, let's talk about the hammer scorecard. We've talked about it a little bit further. The American Report has a story about the whistleblower, and I read that to you previously. Dennis Montgomery is the contractor who built the hammer for the CIA. Now, this is a program that was good that has been turned into bad. By bad people. You see, it saved a lot of American troops' lives in the war on terror. This is according to certain military sources who are familiar, quote unquote, with the matter, right? The hammer is a foreign surveillance tool, or was, because it's been changed now, with multiple echelons of safeguards and sign-offs that logged the identities of all the U.S. personnel who accessed the super surveillance system. It's a supercomputer, folks. Up to and including the President of the United States. So it had a lot of safeguards in it. Well, safeguards were put in place to ensure that it was never misused and turned into a domestic surveillance system to spy on the American people, which is unconstitutional under the Fourth Amendment. But in February of 2009, Barack Obama, John Brennan, and James Clapper commandeered and repurposed the hammer by expanding and transforming it from a foreign surveillance system into a private, parallel platform that did domestic surveillance. That's illegal. And it goes into detail about it. Dennis Montgomery had been the chief executive officer of the company, the contract company that built it. They were based in Reno. It was built with FBI money. Well, guess who? Robert Mueller. So Dennis Montgomery leaves that company, and guess what happens? Robert Mueller fraudulently and illegally obtained search warrants to raid his home and his storage units. That was the conclusion of a U.S. magistrate judge, Valerie Cook, who admonished him. Mueller, that they had illegally obtained the search warrants. Does that sound familiar, by the way?
Nah.
That would never happen, would it, under Obama and Brennan, like with Donald Trump, you know? No. Anyway, it goes on to talk about this, how the Mockingbird media immediately attacked Montgomery to discredit him. This is a long-standing Washington, D.C. policy in the swamp. At the time, the director of national intelligence, John Negroponte, invoked the state secrets privilege against Montgomery, which basically has a gag order. He has to keep his mouth shut. He can't defend himself. He gets drugged through the media by a whole bunch of people, including the New York Times. But here's what happened. There was a court case that were secretly recorded by a guy by the name of Mike Zullo of the Maricopa County, Arizona Sheriff's Office. And it became known as the whistleblower tapes. They weren't supposed to be released to the public because they weren't supposed to be recorded to begin with. This is a, it was a federal court case presided over by U.S. District Judge G. Murray Snow. This is a cold case investigator, Mike Zullo, who said that these tapes were released by the ACLU and publicized, even though they weren't supposed to. In these tapes, it reveals a bunch of things, including that data using the hammer, after it was rewritten and repurposed and expanded and moved from Reno back to within 20 miles of the CIA's office in D.C., that it was used to collect data, surveillance data, on the following people, according to testimony in this U.S. judge's courtroom on 156 Article 3 federal judges. You wonder sometimes how judges rule the way they do? Because maybe they have, well, maybe they're being blackmailed. Also, Chief Justice John Roberts, Antonin Scalia, the FISA court judges, including the presiding FISA court judge, Reggie Walton, plus members of Congress and business leaders. Remember, James Clapper and both John Brennan testified in front of Congress after it was revealed by the Democrats that they were secretly recording messages of members of Congress. They lied about it, and then they had to own up to it. By the way, you know they've never been prosecuted for that. Isn't that kind of strange? It's the swamp. So Montgomery did a radio interview when he could with his attorney, Larry Klayman, who started Judicial Watch. This is what he said. He said, I provided to the FBI 17 businesses of Donald Trump, including the Trump Tower, the Trump leasing programs, all of these different programs, including Trump himself and the various family members that have been wiretapped under these programs. There have been wiretap on Trump for years. He said, I was a CIA contractor under both John Brennan and under James Clapper, and these individuals were running domestic surveillance programs in the United States, collecting information on Americans. They collected everything they could find, bank accounts, phone numbers, chats, emails, and a massive amount of it under the Obama administration. Now, in a moment, I'll get into more of the blackmail and leverage. And this might explain some things. Yeah, I think it does, including why Trump abruptly moved his campaign transition office from Trump Tower to another location. After a brief day 48.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Last segment for today, 10 minutes till the top of the hour. If you're still watching the U.S. Senate hearing, it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of this. Across the country, there are a lot of things going on, even more things in new states now, with New Mexico joining. I mean, Arizona lawmakers have now subpoenaed the audits of the ballots of the Dominion, of both ballots and Dominion voting machines in Maricopa County in Nevada. Those DMV records have been subpoenaed that would prove that almost 4,000 illegal aliens voted in 2020. Pennsylvania Republicans have asked their Supreme Court to again review the election. The Dominion CEO that testified yesterday in front of the under oath, which he lied apparently, according to a Dominion former employee, that he did admit that Dominion voting machines can connect to the internet. If you're watching that last night on Newsmax, you saw a segment where they literally show the little cell phones pods that get connected to the back of these machines. Yet there's no fraud. In fact, I'm watching Mr. Krebs, who's the former head of CISA that got fired by Trump. The guy said, it's been the most secure election ever. Really? How come you miss so much stuff, Mr. Krebs? Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Rich. 503-589-1220 is the Power at Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Rich, what do you have to say today?
Well, I'm going to change gears on you. Senator Thatcher sent out a note that shows that they're having a phone conference tonight at 6 or 6:30 about if we can open up the schools. And they're bringing a bunch of people in, I guess, to talk about it from OHSU. So I would suggest contacting her office to get more detail, because the more people go and at least voice their opinion, even if it's in writing, the better chance we have of getting this thing turned around.
Well, okay, fair enough. So how do we do that?
Get a hold of Kim Thatcher's office, as far as I know.
Okay,
folks. I got it sent to me on an email, so that's all I know for that.
If you send that to me, I'll pass it along to people also if they want, or frankly, I'll be able to, I'll put it up on the show plan. How about that, on my Facebook page? But I think it's a great idea. Everybody knows schools need to be open.
Well, I'm hoping these people aren't as devious as Fauci and have some sense of reality and say, yeah, we gotta open up the schools.
Yeah, long overdue. Overdue.
But it's OHSU, so I'm not too sure what we'll get.
All right, well, send that to me. I'll make sure to get it up on the show plan. I've got time to do that here.
Okay,
thanks,
bye.
Rich. I appreciate it.
Bye.
So, so interesting. There's a... So Dan Scavino, who's the social media and political advisor for the president, he's deputy chief of staff for communications and director of social media, he put a tweet out last night, only to take it down a very short time later. And it was a picture of Trump sitting in the Oval Office with a number of advisors. Now, I don't know what the significance of this is, and neither does this because I don't know who the people in the room are, to be honest with you. I see the vice president, that's for sure. But I don't know who the other people are because I can't scroll in. He said historical moment in the Oval. We'll share what it was one of these days when I can. Now, it's been deleted from his Twitter accounts. He says the picture reportedly tweeted by Scavino appears to be from earlier this year, because you can look out and you can see it. This is on the Gateway Pundit, folks. You can see that there are leaves on the trees outside behind the president in the Oval Office. Could have been taken a month or so before. What is he telling us here? Could it have anything to do with maybe invoking an executive order? Could it have anything to do with preparing to invoke the Insurrection Act? This story about the CIA whistleblower who built the hammer and the scorecard continues on, and it's much longer, and I'm not going to have time to finish it today. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow. There is more, folks. The bottom line is this. The swamp, Brennan, and Obama were illegally surveilling the candidate Donald Trump, the businessman Donald Trump, before he even announced. According to these tapes, and I'll get into more of them maybe tomorrow, that were illegally recorded, to be honest with you, from this hearing before a court. There was another hearing here in front of a federal judge. A federal judge who used to be the presiding officer over the FISA court. It's a name you will recognize. Who probably was also the victim of unconstitutional spying with Hammer, the Hammer system. This stuff is serious, folks. And you better pay attention. And you better be active. As I say every day, for those of you who are people of faith, pray. And if your church or your synagogue does not have a regular prayer time specifically set aside for politics and our nation's future, go to your pastor or your rabbi or your priest and ask them if you can start one. We do it at our church. We do it at other churches. I think there are more people praying today for the future of this country than ever before. And we need it. Then the second thing you've got to do is you've got to be active, friends. That's why all of this stuff that I'm laying out for you today is an opportunity for you to share it with others. To get them thinking about changing their political viewpoints or their ideologies. Persuading the persuadable. That's what it's all about. It's what I'm all about in this show. Thanks for listening, friends. I cannot tell you how I appreciate each and every one of you out there. Be blessed. Keep standing firm. Keep believing. Pray. We'll see you tomorrow.